This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3831, from Monday, the 10th of April, 2023. Today's show is entitled, Introducing Bumblebee. It is hosted by some guy on the internet, and is about 42 minutes long. It carries a clean flag. The summary is, some guy on the internet chats with a friend, Bumblebee.
Hello and welcome to another episode of HPR. I'm your host, Some Guy on the Internet, and I'm here with B. B, you want to introduce yourself?
Hey, I'm B, some random girl on the internet.
All right, so me and B are friends in real life. I just wanted to bring her on the show so we can have a little interesting chat. Tell me, what sort of technology do you like?
I'm pretty simple. I don't like to have a lot on my laptop. I have an HP Omen gaming laptop. I'm pretty familiar with this laptop. It's really great when it comes to gaming. I notice a lot of the more newer laptops, in my personal opinion, from the ones that I've had before, they work best when there's like almost nothing on them. They run better. They, you know, just cooperate better. My favorite tech, though, I guess, I have a Cricut. I love using that. That is super fun. But like I said, I'm pretty simple. I'm not a super into, but I do want to update my laptop and add some more memory and all of the other stuff. I've been looking into that, and this one can be updated as well. So, yeah.
So you'd like to make some updates to your system. Increasing RAM, maybe hard drive space, that kind of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. And I looked it up. It's actually fairly simple process and fairly cheap. If you do want to update it, it could be up to your choice whether you take it in somewhere or do it yourself. When I replaced my battery, I had to fix my battery because, you know, it's a 5-year-old laptop. So, of course, I had to replace the battery after a while. It was actually fairly simple. Few screws here and there, and you know, Bob's your uncle. So it was pretty simple, but you just have to have, my advice is to have several bowls everywhere so you can put all the screws in, you know, X, Y, and Z, you know, simple stuff like that. Yeah, that's what I want to do. Depending on your specific computer, for mine, I have 2 4s, so which is great, instead of just 1 8, because then I can change it out to 2 8s.
For those who don't know what you're referring to by 2 4s, you're talking about sticks of RAM?
Yeah. Sorry.
So you have 2 4-gigabyte sticks of RAM. You're running dual channel.
Yeah, I have a dual channel on my laptop.
And you're going to be upgrading to what amount of RAM?
I would like to update to 16 if I can. I would just have to get 2 8s to be able to fit in there, and they fit, is what I was told.
The sizes are all pretty standard on RAM and things these days. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be doing some RAM upgrade. What about hard drive upgrades?
I haven't 100% looked into hard drives as much as the RAM. Because at the moment I really like my performance to work better. And at the, like, I barely have 1/4 used on my laptop. So, cause I constantly am really big about not having anything on my laptop for several reasons besides security reasons. So yeah, I am looking forward to doing that.
You got a pretty good backup system going.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I have a 2 terabyte external hard drive. I have a 1 terabyte external hard drive, 2 separate ones. And then I also have several, you know, you could have the kind of disposable, you know, thumb drives here and there just to be able to have certain things doubled in other places. And I do that as well. So for example, like I'm in school right now, so I'm not going to put everything on my laptop. If I did, I would have so many documents kept on my laptop because I am in full-time nursing school. I like to have thumb drives here and there. I give thumb drives to my professors, whatever, but I always have a backup somewhere else just in case. The amount of times they have lost a thumb drive is not even funny. It's good to have several different backups. I don't really like putting anything to the cloud, also for security reasons. Not that, you know, any of my providers are really caring about my photos, but, you know, other people might. I do a lot of backups, so, and it just makes my laptop run better as well.
All right, so I want to come back to the security thing in just a bit here, but let's finish up with the hardware really quickly. What sort of, not hardware, let's go to the software side of things. What sort of operating system are you running?
I'm on Microsoft. I have Windows I do Windows, and I have a Core 7. I was thinking whether or not to try out Linux, but I'm not as familiar with Linux. I might have to pick your brain with that.
All right. Well, you know, I'll be available. For now, use Windows. And you brought up the Cricut earlier. Does Cricut come with any type of software that you have to use on Windows in order to get the Cricut working? Or can the Cricut be ran independent of, you know, laptop usage?
You 100% have to have a program to work the Cricut. It will not work. It is not an online type of software. They do have Cricut online, but it does not do, it does not operate with the Cricut. Several years prior to the newer Crickets, the, if for people that don't know what a Cricut is a cutting machine. It's a machine that can cut, vinyl. It can cut certain woods, very thin wood. I've cut leather off of mine, paper. Basically, it cuts a wide range of things.
Could you spell Cricut for us? Because I know it's not spelled the way people are hearing it. And one of the problems we have in open source is that things sound a certain way, but they're not spelled that way. So could you just spell it out real quick for us?
Yeah. C-R-I-C-U-T.
C-R-I-C-U-T. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it's not spelled with E, you know.
It's not spelled, not the normal way.
The normal way. So I guess they try to do a play on word, you know, cut, Cricut, you know, but Cricut is how they pronounce it. So yes, you do need a program. They also have an app that you can get on iOS and Android, which is really nice because I, a lot of times, come up with a lot of my ideas when I'm not at home. So it's nice to just be able to pull that out and do that. And it can also save through your phone and you can transfer it to your laptop when you get home. Obviously, there's certain things you can't do on the iOS or your phone or whatever that you can do on the laptop. I've made a slight small business out of this, and I've done fairly well. But yes, you do need a program to answer your question, which it comes with the programming and everything. And it's very simple. It doesn't take that much, but you do need an internet access to be able to use it. The Cricut is Bluetooth and or wireless, but it also has the cord if you would like to be plugged in.
All right, so this thing sounds like it's cloud dependent.
It's more, I mean, you can put it on the cloud. The only times I do is when I transfer something from my phone to that, but I don't keep it on the cloud.
If you were to attempt to use this thing on your computer with absolutely no internet access at all, would it still function?
If it's plugged in, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So with the wireless and Bluetooth, you know, sometimes they do need, maybe not Bluetooth, but wireless sometimes needs internet. So that would make sense. But yeah, if it's plugged in, I've used it a few times without internet. When, you know, I first moved in my new home, we didn't have internet for like over a week, but I had several projects that I had to complete. So I did have it plugged in and that worked. I was able to use them. You can still use the program without internet, but the cutting doesn't go without internet. So you have to plug them in. But besides that, it, you know, it works great. It definitely runs more efficiently on internet. The program just does. There's just certain functions that you can't use with the Cricut if you don't have internet. As an example, there's a function on there where you're able to go and there's like one that says uploads or images or something like that. And the images you hit are all the images that you can find or the projects you can find on Cricut's database and on their program. So those you cannot use at all whatsoever if you don't have internet, because obviously they're pulling them from the internet.
So one of the things I remember you mentioning in the past was the ability to save templates. And I was asking whether or not you could save them on your hard drive versus saving them in the cloud. Could you talk more about that?
Yeah, I'll talk for about both sides, but you can find, you have to be very careful when you sell things. So you have to look for free things a lot of the time. I go online all the time and I find free ones. You can also go on Etsy and buy them and they are for free.
Tell us what you mean by free. In our community, free means, free is commonly used for something else in our community, but tell us what you mean with free.
Where you don't pay any money. I mean, there's no expense to you besides downloading it to your laptop.
Okay.
It could be an image. It can be... So with the Cricut, we use the term SVG.
Yeah, we're familiar with SVGs.
Okay, so we use SVGs. If you like an image a lot, let's say you want, I don't know, some random character that's black and white, okay? You can use that JPEG and through the program of Cricut, turn it into an SVG. Okay. Well, a lot of those make it so you don't have to put it on the cloud. It's straight onto your hard drive, to answer your question. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to have it that way. Using it through the Cricut software, you have to have internet.
So we're talking about file conversion here, an image being converted mm-hmm. from a JPEG to an SVG. Is that what we're talking about?
Absolutely. And so that's what it makes it free. So a lot of times you can go online and look at literally write free black and white outlines or free squiggles or whatever you want to find.
Let's just use a penguin for now. Let's say we want a penguin and okay. we want the penguin JPEG to be an SVG. Can I use a third party software to convert that penguin into the proper format for the Cricut completely offline mm-hmm. and then operate the Cricut offline without internet access or without authentication?
Yes. I mean, technically you could still use the Cricut software without internet to still turn it into an SVG. The Cricut is very simple. It does a lot of the work for you, which is great. You just upload it. The Cricut's very specific on which ones they use. Like it only takes pictures and certain things like that. As soon as you upload it, it'll ask you, would you like to take out the negative space? And you say yes. So basically how I say outlines, I mean kind of like a coloring book page. That's a really good example. So a lot of times that's what I look for. That's what I type in the description, because sometimes if you write outlines, it just comes up random stuff. You can put it through the Cricut and it will take out the negative space for you, and you can upload it from your computer, not the cloud, not internet, from your computer to use it. And I do that quite often. Sometimes I take screenshots of things. Sometimes, you know, I find something online that I, you know, like or whatever, and I take that photo. And then I just transfer it to my computer later. Sometimes I email it to myself, you know, all of the various of things. But yeah, you can definitely do that. You can definitely use it without internet. There's just certain things you cannot do without internet with the Cricut program.
All right, so the Cricut sounds really good. It sounds like it's got a lot of functionality. You use it for a hobby / business, and it just works.
Absolutely. I love it. You can make really personalized gifts that normally cost you an arm and a leg. I mean, just something as simple as a personalized keychain, if you buy from Walmart, could be up to, you know, $15 to $20. And I could literally make one for under $1. So yeah, and they're much more personalized. So absolutely. I really, really love it. I got it as a Christmas present for my wonderful husband, and it was great.
Right, so what else do you do with your laptop? Do you do any sort of gaming, anything like that on it?
Yeah, I game a lot with you. I play 7 days, and I play Minecraft primarily. Haven't played Minecraft in forever, but I don't game as much as the next guy because I am in school at the moment, and I haven't really found, you know, really good games that I like. I'm pretty picky about the games that I like. I do not like Twitch shooter games. I like survival games, games that make me think. That's what I game personally.
Gaming is improving in Linux, but it is not anywhere near where Windows is with games. And that's because the games were created to run on Windows. And in Linux, we're making it possible to also run these games in Linux. So if you were a gamer looking to game in Linux, I would not recommend it at this time because the improvements have not caught up to user expectations. However, there are devices that run Linux operating systems like the Steam Deck. That is a device that can run, tons of games. It operates off of a Linux operating system, but it's actually maintained by a company and built to do so versus you just getting your own hardware and trying to run games on it. You'll run into a few issues that you just don't experience on Windows. With Windows, it's more of a click, play, and off you go.
From the little bit of research that I have done talking to you from, you know, weekly, I noticed that Windows is very user friendly for the most part. I mean, despite there certain updates here and there, for the most part, it's very user friendly. I feel like Linux is more of a, you know, higher based on computer level. My personal opinion from, like I said, from the research that I have done, I really like Windows for the most part. I just thought, you know, I'd play with it here and there with Linux just to kind of open my horizon.
Part of the problem with Linux is when you want to open the door and jump into this journey, it looks like a puddle. And then when you jump into it, suddenly you realize it's an ocean. and there's so much choice, it can be overwhelming at first. But once you've made a choice, you think, okay, now I can just go down this one road and try and just explore this one thing, only to find that it branches further and further, and it's almost infinite. It is for those who want to tinker, explore, learn, or if you're a developer, well, it's perfect for them. If you're a developer, you just hop right in and you begin customizing your experience to what you need to do. So it's a fine operating system. However, because of what you're used to, what you're doing is perfect. You just do a little research and figure out when the time is right for you. You jump in when you're ready.
Yeah. And for me personally, if I wanted to play around Linux, I would probably want to get a play around computer or laptop, just because I use my laptop on a daily basis. Between school, my business, gaming, whatever I'm using it for, it's on a daily basis. So I would probably want to get a beat around laptop to be able to play around with it. I noticed a lot of the programs that I'm used to playing, like you were saying with games, I noticed a lot of them do not run off of it. Like, there's no way I could run my Cricut off of Linux. It does not run off of Linux. It only runs off of Microsoft, the programs I use for school. I have certain ones for school that there's a program that we have that's called Lockdown. It's specifically made for people that work, that do school at home and they want to take an exam. Mm-hmm. You cannot use that. So there are certain programs that I will not be able to use. And that might be a turnaway for a lot of people. Not that Linux is not a great program, but it's just not at the level that, you know, Windows is at yet.
The community is also packaged with the software. When you choose the software, any distribution of Linux, you're also choosing it's like going into another country. You don't just go there because you love the buildings or the food. You also go there for the people. And that's what Linux is like. Depending on what side of it that you choose, what area, I mean, it can be a rough start if you jump into something like Arch or Gentoo first, or it can be a little bit gentler if you were to do something like Ubuntu or Fedora. So it's good to have somebody with you if you're going to make that plunge. But enough about that for now, because I mean, we've already stated that that's something in the future.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So a while back, we were sitting down having some lunch, and we were talking about setting up a Minecraft server and playing Minecraft. And there were some questions being thrown around at the time. And you were wondering about running a Minecraft server the same way that we had done in the past. Now, One of the things that was asked is, do you need physical hardware for the server? And I explained that the server does require physical hardware, but not necessarily separate physical hardware. Did you understand what I was saying at that time?
Yeah, basically what I took from that was kind of from a third party, like you can't just run it off of nothing, you know, like, and that's how my interpretation was. And especially when you kind of like drew that little diagram that you did for us, was really helpful to understand that you have to be careful on certain servers because you're, you know, breaking a hole. And when you make a server, you're making them inviting to other people.
You're talking about the port forwarding.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I understood that to make a server, you know, it's either from a third party, like Steam is a third party. It's not just when we play 7 Days to Die, we use Steam as the third party to play multiplayer.
That's correct. And with Minecraft, when we ran it the last time, it was through port forwarding where I opened up the ports on my firewall in order to forward the service to you so that you can have access to it.
Yeah. And at that time when we were doing that, I had no idea of any of this. Between talking to you on a regular basis about this, plus doing my own little research here and there, I have learned, you know, how you did it to a certain degree. So I'm a little bit more understanding about how we need a server or something more protecting, you know, that's going to be running off of our internet, our, you know, whatever we need to protect that.
So a quick side question here. Remember Nextcloud, when I brought up Nextcloud to you?
Yeah, I tinkered with it for a little bit. Yeah.
What'd you think about Nextcloud?
I thought Nextcloud was great. I thought it was a really good like, I guess, program that you'd use for business attributes. So my husband is and has his own business as well. I'm able to use it for a lot of various of things, whether it's document uploading, scheduling, various of things like that. He, at that time that you showed it to me, he had employees. So it was really great to have reminders on that. So I personally like the program. We don't get to use it often because we are smaller business owners. So we don't use it as much as, you know, some people may. But I thought it was a great software, personally.
Yeah, Nextcloud is wonderful. I self-hosted Nextcloud on our network for a while. And, well, currently I still have an internal Nextcloud, but I mean, I ran one through port forwarding, exporting, so that way I can have access to it outside of the network. That kind of died when my Raspberry Pi died. So gotta set up a new thing, and I'm not going to go into too much detail with that. That's a show for another day. But yeah, Nextcloud is wonderful, and it doesn't matter how big or small. Like, you can just be one person using Nextcloud. It's a fantastic collaboration suite. And in the future, I encourage you to give it a little bit more playtime just to kind of get more familiar with the features. But for now, I just wanted you to let everyone know your experience with it.
Yeah, I did play with it for a little bit. I used it during the time I was doing school, and that was actually helpful to put a lot of documents to save on there. But I did notice that a lot of people are not familiar with it. Like, they've never even heard of Nextcloud. A lot of times when people hear it, they think one cloud or, you know, the iPhone, you know, they think of that instead. So they think of that, or they think of OneDrive instead, thinking that's what you're talking about instead. And so I did notice that a lot anytime I would talk about it to other people, because that's what I thought too. When you told me about it, I was like, do you mean iCloud? You know, because we're iPhone holders. So that's what I thought you meant. But obviously now I know the difference. That is one thing that I think should be more knowledgeable about.
Part of the reason a lot of people don't know about it is because you kind of have to set it up yourself, right? So, you can have someone else sort of deploy it for you and then you just use it. But for most of us, the people who know about Nextcloud, we know about it because we kind of want to set it up ourselves. We want to manage the backend database and everything on our own. And even if you don't want to, there are certain packages that you still have to manually, you know, you have to manually install. You may not have to configure them, you know, with the snap version of Nextcloud. So you don't have to manually configure the whole thing, but you still have to install it yourself. And then you set up your, you know, admin account and et cetera, et cetera. But most people like the it's already there, I just want to create a username and go feel. They trust. Well, I wouldn't say they trust. They don't even care about the whole trust factor. What do you think about services like OneDrive and iCloud or Google Drive? What do you think about them as far as storing your documents and things on their platform?
So I also think it's a personal preference. For my personal thing, I do use OneDrive for certain things on my actual computer, and I do it only for school documents. So if someone randomly finds my document about the difference between human and animal cells, I don't care because they can get nothing from me. People I notice don't understand, which I'm pretty sure everyone on this platform understands, but a lot of other people, myself included, didn't understand the risks involved. Once it's on the internet, it's always on the internet. So like, for instance, iCloud, you can pay a monthly fee to have a bigger cloud and whatever. I don't do that because it doesn't stay on my phone long enough. I transfer it all to my computer using a port, like plug and play kind of thing, to transfer everything over to my laptop. I don't want some person to have my photos and everything. I do know Google Docs is a very great. It's a very great platform using it with school. For anyone that's not familiar with Google, it's much better than Microsoft and all of those that I've noticed. For example, since I am in school, a lot of times we have to do, what do they call them? Presentations for whatever program we're using or whatever we have to do. It saves everything, and we're not having to, and this needs an internet thing. So we can literally save it on Google Docs and Google Drive, and then someone else can come. We can have three or four people editing their presentation, their slideshow at the same time we're doing it. So we don't have to constantly be like, oh, I finished my 3 or 4 slides, here you go, and you have to send it to them. That's the one thing I really do like that they did. So I don't have to constantly email like, oh, this is what I did, now it's your turn, and you have to wait for people. You can literally start whenever you want, and we don't have to like jumble it all together at the end or have one person that's, you know, the leader of the group jumble it all together. So that is one thing I can say about that program.
So you like the collaboration of it, and you also like it for...
Yeah.
Not necessarily personal things, mostly for schoolwork or work.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, it's personal preference and what you're willing to share to the world. Because everyone, I'm not going to say a Joe Schmo can just log into your stuff. But if everyone knows when you use Facebook, how many times has someone been hacked through Facebook and there's some random person adding you? Like recently, I got a random invite from my mom, and you know, my mom's been passed away since 2015. So I obviously know that's not her, you know? And so you got to be really careful about what you post or what you save or download or whatever on those specific programs, because people can get into them. People always think that in Snapchat that it, you know, take a picture and it deletes. That's not a true statement. It has to go somewhere. It has to be stored somewhere for it to even go through the internet. Personally, I do like the programs or the storage solutions. I think they're good storage, but they're not as secure as having it on my hard drive and then transferring it to an external hard drive.
One of the things that we talk about here within our community is users taking responsibility for their data. And part of the taking responsibility is, well, you know, managing your data. You have to be able to store your data. And many users like the convenience of just, you know, hey, I get a free 100 gigs from this company and another free 100 gigs from the other company, and I'll just use that. Whereas once that data grows, you know, you start taking more pictures, more videos and things, and now your data set grows from that 100 gigs. Now you have to start paying a certain amount of money. Well, the companies make it cheap in the beginning just to get you onto the platform. And before you know it, you got a terabyte or two worth of data on their platform. There isn't any backups for that. The companies don't, well, they offer you a backup service, but it does not come with a backup. Now, that data is all there. When you are ready to migrate to a different service, it's going to be far more difficult for you. Now you have to get this interruption where you're now faced with finally managing your own data because you want to migrate your data from Apple to Google or whatever. So now you have to try and figure out how to get your data from one place and move it to another place. Where if you were just managing your data yourself, that would not even be an issue. You would already have that understanding from the beginning, and you can migrate your data to any platform. Now, hopefully it'd be a free and open platform. And I should start by explaining to you, within the community, free here does not mean, well, it also means at no cost to the user, but we typically use it as free as in freedom.
Got you.
We mean that it is freedom respecting software, not free as in no cost.
That's another thing that people have to understand. So before, like, you know, we've been friends for years, but before we, you know, let's say mature enough to really care about this stuff. Because I noticed that with millennials and Gen Z, we don't think about that. It's constantly like, oh, that would never happen to me. You know, I would pay that money to every month. I mean, depending on the service you have to think about that in a year's time. If you pay $9.99 for something, that's $120, if not more, you know, that you're paying every year to have a software that is not truly protected. And when me and you talked before, and I told you I wanted to get an external hard drive, I sent you, you know, links and pictures of which ones should I get? What do you think about this? What do you think about that? And it was the best decision because I canceled all of those services and got something super cheap. People don't realize how little 100 gigs is. Your phone on average is 128 gigs on average. So a lot of times people are like, they take so many photos, they're like, oh, have not enough storage. You have to delete some photos here and there. I never get that anymore. I have not gotten that in years. because I transfer so many times. Don't get me wrong, I keep some photos on my phone because I like to be able to show off photos. But the thing is with people is that they don't understand
the benefit of it.
It feels so much different. I can understand.
Because you now have the power. You are in control of your data.
Yeah, I can understand. Okay, so we have all upgraded phones, okay? So the lure that I get with the iCloud, okay? The benefit, I guess, that both sides can see. Let's say I get a new phone, okay? And I need to transfer everything to said phone. If you don't have cloud, you have an empty phone, okay? If you don't have anything, you have an empty phone. So you have to wait until you get home, get into your computer, and transfer it that way. I'm okay with doing that with my photos and all of those things. I do use a very small bit of it for the apps and stuff because I have little games on my phone. I mean, no one cares about that. You know what I mean? I can sympathize with the convenience of iCloud, OneDrive, all of those. I can understand the convenience of it all. But at the same time, people have to understand, is the convenience enough? Is it so convenient that you're willing to pay that? You know, it's like going to 7-Eleven and buying a gallon of, you know, are you willing to spend $5 on milk instead of driving up the street and getting one for $2 or $3, whatever the milk is right now? It depends on your convenience level, what you're willing to sacrifice to get that. And for me, I'm not.
I'm gonna add into that just a little bit. It used to seem just that way, as you spelt it out, where, you know, you go to 7-Eleven and pay in a crazy amount for just a gallon of milk. But now people are finding out, or at least those who pay attention, it's actually far worse than that. Imagine going to 7-Eleven paying, you know, $5-6 for a gallon of milk. And when you walk out the door, some stranger walks home with you and watches you drink the milk and records every bit of that milk you use.
That's a good analogy. Yeah, absolutely. Or, you know, and someone or steals that milk. And I get that. And that's my thing. I don't like that my private photos, I mean, even though they're all PG, it doesn't matter. It's the point of having, that's mine to have. I risk every time I put a photo online. If I put it on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, if I ever post a photo, that is my responsibility. And like you were saying before, you want a lot more users to have freedom, you know, and have, you know, the sense of responsibility. Everything is responsibility. And to be honest, I think that's a lot more, you know, I'll be biased for a minute, a lot more with women. Women need to think about that.
Do you know that posting a photo is also posting your location?
Yes, I do. I do know that. For instance, I follow people here and there online. And they talk about this thing as in protecting as well. They talk about how they don't post a photo until they're out of that area. They don't post a photo until they're in a different location because it does show. My dad was showing me the other day that I had sent him a photo when I was in high school. And he looked at the photo. I was probably in like 11th grade, so a million years ago. It showed that I had taken it with an iPhone 4 on this specific date. And I was at my high school when I took it. All of these crazy things.
That's the metadata.
And I was like, and that photo was sent to him. It wasn't even on my phone. I didn't take it with his phone. I sent it to him years ago, and he still has that information. So for people that are naive and think that people can't get that information, it's very careless and it makes people vulnerable. People have to be safer with the stuff that they post and the information they have. So for me personally, the iCloud is very convenient for certain things, but not worth the risk. I don't ever want people to know where I live, ever. You have to risk that. You have to put in the work to not have that. I spent $40 and got an external hard drive and then another $20. They're so cheap nowadays. Years ago, oh my God, you would have spent like $300 on a 2 terabyte, okay? They're so flipping cheap. I got one off of Amazon and I got a cover. I love it. It's great. It's simple. It works really well.
We got to get you to build a Kubernetes cluster next.
And what is that?
I don't know.
Oh. The point is that I'm making is that you're saving a lot more money. Instead of buying bottled water, you buy a thermos that you can fill up over and over again.
One of the other things they don't think about is, okay, they trust this platform, right? I'm going to store it all in Google Drive. We're just going to use Google Drive because it's the easiest for now. I'm going to store all my photos, you know, my documents and stuff like that, marriage certificates, all that kind of stuff here because I can have access to it when I need it, where I need it. And I'm not worried about Google peeking into my life because I'm not that important. Plus, I don't have anything to hide. This is kind of the mentality that they have. What they don't consider, sure, Joe Schmo at Google may not care to look into your intimate documents or whatever. The attackers out there that are constantly breaking into these platforms know that you're keeping that kind of stuff there. When they break into that platform and they download all of your precious material from there, now they go onto the dark web and sell it to the highest bidder. The highest bidder now has plenty of information to imitate you around the world. So now your identity is exposed on a grand scale.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of people don't see that as the potential. It's not that that random photo that I took at the park wearing a pretty sundress that they give a crap about. Like they don't care about that, that they're not getting anything off of that. It's looking to where you are. It's finding your identity. I can't tell you how many times my friends have messaged me through text or whatever saying, hey, don't add that person off of Facebook. That's not me. Several years ago, I got hacked with Target, that big Target scam that happened where I bought stuff. I bought like, you know, a couple hundred dollars worth of stuff for Christmas time. And before I knew it, my card was being charged over $5,000. And they stole so much money from people. And that was just, Target's a very big company. You know, it's a very, very big company. Every single company, I guarantee, has been hacked or scammed or used at one point in time. Because no matter what, there's always someone out there that is smarter and more conniving and just, you know, makes it easy for people to be vulnerable.
If a hacker were to come after you as an individual, you're a very small target and the reward may not be exactly what they want. They would have to specifically target you for a specific reason. And most people who are in the attacker world usually do it for the money. They usually want to get data and sell it. Attacking you specifically, a very small target, is extremely hard to do, and it's not going to yield much. So they're risking jail time for very little yield. However, these big companies like Target, that's a very, very big target, so it's easier to hit. There's so many moving parts. There's so many employees that they can try to break in through. What they do is they look for an employee that's got his guard down, and they try to steal that employee's credentials, and then they move from there, hopping to other areas in order to commit the attack.
For that point of view, I also think that people should always have a protected on their internet as well. Because let's say they don't go through you through those things. People still can hack through internet.
So you're talking about like VPNs and things of that nature?
Mm-hmm. I was just about to get that. Yeah. And so a lot of people don't have that as a security. People should. If they're wanting to spend money on a bigger cloud, kit that out all together and spend that money on a safer VPN. And that's what I do personally. All of my guests that come here and all of my technology, I have a smart TV. So my smart TV, my Google Home, all of those things are on that specific VPN. So if anyone comes in and hacks it, they only can get the whatever's on that. My laptop, my husband's laptop, and our cell phones are on a different one altogether.
Oh, I know what okay. So let me just clear this up real quickly. Where she said VPN earlier, and when I mentioned VPN, what she's actually talking about now is her home network is segmented.
Yes, absolutely. I remember being in our apartment years ago before I learned about this, and I remember my neighbor had the nerve to come up to me and say, "What's wrong with your internet? It's not working." And that just proves that if my neighbor was able to get into my internet, then obviously I wasn't doing something correct. I wasn't doing the safe thing. I personally use SimpliSafe or Surfshark. That's what I personally use. There's so many out there. And that's the problem with a lot of younger, in my personal opinion, I think a lot of younger people that are around my age, I'm 27 for people to get, you know, an idea.
That means you're grandma now, right?
Yeah, almost. Yeah. I'm turning 28 this year. Ugh, I'm closer to 30. And another thing that people do, my girlfriend was telling me that her phone was hacked, and in her notes on her phone, if anyone knows, I don't know if they have it on Android, but in iPhone, they have a notes app. Well, my lovely friend decided to put all of her passwords in this notes thing. Her phone was hacked to the point they changed her passcode to get in her phone. They stole so much money from her. They knew where she lived. Everything. They stole her identity. They changed all of her passwords to every single thing. Facebook, Instagram, her email. I don't know if she has Yahoo, but she said everything got hacked. Her banking information was changed. Every single thing was changed.
Yeah, that was just a bad move.
And this is going to sound a little, you know, gender biased, but as women, me personally, if I'm on the side of the road and a man is walking towards me, I clutch my bag. I walk onto the other side of the road, and it has nothing to do with that. It just has to do with, I don't know what he's going to do.
Sexist.
That is common sense for most women. Yeah, it's a little sexist. I know. And I'm sorry for all the men that are great men out there, because there are great men out there. I'm married to one, my dad, and including you, I would never worry about those things.
I know, but I'm just messing with you.
Not all men are like that. I know. So the point is, that is common sense for most women. This is not. This is not common sense. This is something that is taught. This is something, I mean, of course, that's taught too as a young age, but those are things that are taught, you know, like back in school, stranger danger. Those were taught. If you're in school, anyone that's ever been in high school, okay, bullying is the biggest thing. If you're bullied too much and they notice it, and schools, whatever, a lot of times they'll suspend a student for bullying, okay? It is very hard for a school to suspend a student for cyberbullying because it didn't happen on school grounds, even though it affects a student. They're just now, within the past 2 years, trying to figure out cyber crimes, because most of these cyber crimes are done in different countries, and people have to understand that. So people have to be responsible enough to protect themselves in every nature that it comes to the internet.
Well, B, I think we got enough for the show today. I'd like to have you back on in the future to discuss more things if you ever have the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Just let me know. It was fun.
If you want to give a closing statement to everybody, let them know a little something before we go.
I just hope that a lot of young people will listen to this and be educated and a little bit in more nature and do research themselves. That's the biggest thing. Like, even though you tell me a lot, I do my own research. So do more research. Look how to protect yourself in every nature, specifically the internet. And thanks for having me.
You are welcome. And I'm sure the community will also welcome you. Once the show gets uploaded, mm-hmm. I'll go ahead and send you a link so that way you can see any of the comments that are added to the show. So for all the listeners out there, if you guys have anything you want to mention about the show, go ahead and leave a comment down below. And we'll see you guys in the next episode of HPR. Take it easy.
Bye.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, you can click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.